Good evening. Welcome to a special edition of The Blues. I'm Lee Hay. Tonight you'll hear Memories of Bonnie Lou by John Keysweater. Lots of her music, much of it recorded at King Records, and her 2007 conversation with Randy McNutt in our studio. Let's begin with the opening paragraph of Bonnie Lou's obituary in the New York Times on Thursday, December 10th. Bonnie Lou, a singer who achieved national stardom in the 1950s by recording country and rockabilly hits and performing on television and radio, but whose career declined after she turned down a major label deal, died Tuesday in Cheviot, Ohio. She was 91. Locally, Bonnie Lou recorded her first single on King Records March 2nd, 1953. Her final session for King was a cover of La-Di-Da with Rusty York on January 9th, 1958. A celebration of Bonnie Lou on the blues.
I'm John Keysweater, media beat reporter for WVXU. I had the pleasure of interviewing Bonnie Lou dozens of times, at least. She was one of my favorites. She was the sweetest, most down-to-earth person. People with just one name, Madonna, Cher, usually have larger-than-life personalities and large egos. Not Bonnie Lou. She was your next-door neighbor. She was wonderfully self-effacing sense of humor. She was so genuine and humble. What struck me when I interviewed her at length at her home back in 2007, that was 40 years after Ruth Lyons retired. She was a regular on the Ruth Lyons show, and she still referred to Ruth as Miss Lyons. Her fans loved her, and she loved her fans. She had told me that she had the greatest teachers in the world, Paul Dixon and Ruth Lyons, both from her days at WLW. And they told her that when you're done with the show, go out and sign autographs and be with your fans, and that's what she did. Plus the nature of live television. They talked about their lives on TV. Her fans knew her, knew a lot about her. Then they'd meet her in person, and she was just so genuine and personable that they'd meet her in the grocery store or Shillitoe's or whatever, and they loved her. She loved them.
That runs away from me, dreams that just won't let me be, blues that keep on bothering me, chains that just won't set me free. Too far away from you and all your charms. In dreams I see your face, memories time cannot erase. Then I awake and find you gone. I'm so blue and all alone, so far away from lips so sweet and warm. Just out of reach of my
was so many different things. She was probably the most versatile star at WLW. radio and TV. She came here in 1945 and left for a while, came back in 51, and was a star of Midwestern Hayride. She was then on Ruth Lyons' 50-50 Club for a while and a sidekick to Paul Dixon when he started his daily show in the late 50s on WLW. She could sing all the different genres. She could sing country, which she did on Midwest Hayride. She could sing rockabilly. And on Ruth Lyons' show, they kind of push her into doing some pop songs, too, and rock songs. So you saw a whole different side of her. She was a huge star for those who didn't know her or see her. She was on Midwestern Hayride, this country music showcase, on Saturday night. But in the summers, in the 50s, it was a network replacement show on NBC. So it was a national TV show. She was, like I said, Paul Dixon's sidekick, 50-50 Club. And for King Records here in Cincinnati, she had three hits in the 50s. She had Seven Lonely Days, Tennessee Wigwalk, and Daddy-O. And also, she hosted a national radio show for Mutual Radio called Six Star Ranch in the 1950s from WLW. She sang at the Grand Ole Opry, and she was elected to the Rockabilly Hall of Fame in 2002. So she had this wonderful career, and it wasn't just in Cincinnati. When she died recently, the obits appeared in the New York Times and the Chicago Tribune. She was hugely popular with her fans. I was going back through in past stories that I'd written when I worked at the Enquirer. And in 1964, Bonnie Lou told the Enquirer reporter, one of my predecessors, that she was making five personal appearances a week. So she'd be on the Dixon Show during the day, Midwestern Hayride on the weekend. And then to promote those shows and promote the station, the management had them going out doing county fairs, festivals, all kinds of things. So back in 64, she was doing five appearances a week and estimated that she was getting 1,300 fan letters a year, which was a little bit more than 25 a week. There's pictures I've seen of her at La Swordsville Lake. WLW and WLWT would take Dixon and their Avco Hour of Stars to the state fair and would be a grandstand entertainment. The Bronze Show would usually be there all week. Dixon would be there, the Midwestern Hayride would be up there, and with the Crosley Avco network, you were live in Cincinnati, but you're also live in Dayton, Indianapolis, and Columbus. So that was quite a reach, particularly in central and southwestern Ohio, between Columbus, Dayton, and Cincinnati. So there'd be these live shows, and then there'd be an Avco Hour of Stars primetime special that they do from all the talent that would be up there. Somewhere I have an LP, a record album, that's actually the best of one year at the Ohio State Fair.
We're doing that two-step, sidestep, then a whirl away, two-step, sidestep. Took a man away, two-step, sidestep. What a gloomy day from that two-step Saturday night. We're doing that new step, two-step, sidestep. We'll learn it yet, all set for Saturday night. There was a girl at the dance last night. He was sitting pretty and things were bright. She had a style that seemed just right with the two-step, sidestep all of the night. We're doing that two-step, sidestep, then whirl away, two-step, sidestep. Took her man away, two-step, sidestep. What a gloomy day from that two-step Saturday night. We're doing that new step, two-step, sidestep. We'll learn it yet, all set for Saturday night. Now the people crowd around to get a glance at the two-steppin' girl with the sideway prance. She looked like a monkey taken off in a flat, but she took my baby last Saturday night. We're doing that two-step sidestep, then a whirl away, two-step sidestep. Took her man away, two-step sidestep. What a gloomy day from that two-step Saturday night. We're doing that new step, two-step sidestep. We'll learn it yet, all set for Saturday night. So listen, girls, it goes to show, you can't make your knees tell your toes where to go. You better leave, cause you can't compete with the sidestepping girl with the two-step beat. We're doing that two-step sidestep, then a whirl away, two-step sidestep. Took her man away, two-step sidestep. What a gloomy day from that two-step Saturday night. We're doing that new step, two-step sidestep. We'll learn it yet, all set for Saturday night.
Two-step sidestep, two-step
Saturday night.
Two-step
Saturday night.
Being on the what was started as a Crosley Network was known as the Avco Network in the 60s and 70s. The shows would appear in three cities, Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, and Indianapolis. And that's how David Letterman became a Paul Dixon fan. Paul Dixon's show was on WLWI, Channel 13 over in Indianapolis. And I interviewed Letterman several times, and Letterman had told me that he was out of college back in Indianapolis. He was doing a radio show in the morning, and he'd get off this radio, come home, turn on the TV, and there's Paul Dixon doing his show. And Paul Dixon's two sidekicks were Bonnie Lou and Colleen Sharp, two singers who were on staff at WLW. And he was a huge fan. Colleen Sharp has told me a couple of times about how when Dixon took his show to Indianapolis to do some live remotes, she was requested to go out to this radio station where this big, tall, thin guy with red hair and gap teeth, it was Letterman, who knew the show inside out, wanted to interview her. And he's told me that he came home from college, would watch Dixon's show, and Letterman said he did the same show over and over again. And he'd tell people, this is the same dumb show. And Letterman looked at me and says, and that's when I said, that's what I want to do. So that's the direct connection. He told me that in like 97. So back in 98, a year later, WLW had released a VHS tape of the Paul Dixon episode about the chicken wedding, when two rubber chickens, he did this hour and a half show about marrying these two rubber chickens. And I knew he was a huge Reds fan, too. He told me about taking the train down to Union Terminal from Indianapolis with his dad to watch Kozuski and the Reds in the 50s. So I sent him that spring the VHS tape with the Paul Dixon chicken wedding and the Reds section from the Enquirer, and I mailed it to him. And so a couple of weeks later, I get a letter from Letterman, two sentences long. It says simply, "Dear John, thanks for the Cincinnati Reds article and the Paul Dixon shows. That Bonnie Lou is quite a looker. Best wishes, David Letterman." So that's one of my keepsakes from my years at the Enquirer.
If you get close enough to hold me tight, if you get close enough to kiss me good night, if you get close enough
get close enough, you realize the way I worship you shows in my eyes. If you get close enough to know I love you, then you'll be close enough to love me too. Get close enough, you realize the way I worship you shows in my eyes. If you get close enough to know I love you, then you'll be close enough to love me too.
You know, a lot of people talk about Bonnie Lou as a TV and a radio star that she was, came here in 45 and stayed on TV until 1974 when Paul Dixon died. And when he died, and obviously the Paul Dixon show ended, she left WLW and was no longer on the Bronze Show or Midwestern Hayride. But for another 30 years after that, she continued to perform and was still just as popular. But there were many Ruth Lyon / Avco Channel 5 reunion shows, holiday shows that she would appear on live in person at shopping malls, at one of the casinos, at convention centers, and different parties and festivals and fairs and all that. And so her career here really spanned about 60 years, not just the 30 years on TV. And her last public performance was at Tall Stacks, the Riverboat Festival, back in 2006. And Dick Murgatroyd, at her memorial service at her funeral earlier this month, had said that we're going to do a live televised special from there. And she wasn't sure. She was up in age at that time and had been battling arthritis and some other problems and wasn't sure how she'd do going out on stage, and also wasn't sure the audience would remember her. And he said as soon as she picked up a guitar and walked out on stage and started singing, it all came back to her, and she was marvelous, and the crowd just loved it. And that was, I guess, the best way to go out on top, they say. So that was her last public appearance, and it was a marvelous one.
B-O-B-B-Y-B-Y, Bobby. Bobby Sox.
She likes to dance.
She likes to dance.
She really rocks.
She really rocks.
All the hip cats call her a little Miss Bobby Sox.
A little Miss Bobby Sox.
Always on the phone.
Always on the phone.
A little chatterbox.
A little chatterbox.
A real heartbreaker. A little Miss Bobby Sox.
A little Miss Bobby Sox.
Walks with a wiggle. Talks with a giggle. Jeans and sloppy joes. She's not a phony, hair in a pony, digs all the picture shows. When she starts to strut,
when she starts to strut,
up and down the block,
up and down the block,
the wolves start howling, a little Miss Bobby Sox.
A little Miss Bobby Sox. B-O-B-B-Y-B-Y, Bobby, Bobby Sox. Bobby, Bobby. Bobby Sox.
Cuter than a doll.
Cuter than a doll.
Sharper than a fox.
Sharper than a fox.
Pretty as a picture. A little Miss Bobby Sox.
A little Miss Bobby Sox.
Always has a dime.
Always has a dime.
For the old jukebox.
For the old jukebox.
Sings all the latest. A little Miss Bobby Sox.
A little Miss Bobby Sox.
She's real cool and crazy and a little lazy. So many things to do. Hayriding dances, hot and cold romances, a lot of games and parties too. When she starts to jive,
when she starts to jive,
everybody flocks,
everybody flocks,
to take a lesson from a little Miss Bobby Sox.
Little Miss Bobby Sox. Bobby!
Till he's back and holds me tight. No rock and roll tonight. No rock and roll tonight. Danger, heartbreak ahead. Look out, little fool, you're not wise. Not wise to love so completely, or fall for the look in his eyes. Danger, heartbreak ahead. Be sure, little heart, for you know, yes, you know what has happened to you before. There's danger, travel slow. Does his kiss really be what you think it be? Are the words that he whispers true? Are you sure you understand the touch of his hand? Does his touch mean too much to you? Maybe I could be wrong, but go slow, little fool, for it's said that love either finds you or love either blinds you to the danger of a heartbreak ahead. Does his kiss really mean what you think it means? Are the words that he whispers true? Are you sure you understand the touch of his hand? Does his touch mean too much to you? Oh, maybe I could be wrong, but go slow, little fool, for it's said that love either finds you or love either blinds you to the danger of a heartbreak ahead.
This is Randy McNutt, and I'm here talking with Bonnie Lou, one of my favorites from WLW Radio and WLWT. Bonnie, it's so good to speak with you today.
Well, it's wonderful to speak with you too, Randy.
Well, good.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about your early days. I know a lot of people remember you from the Paul Dixon Show, but
right.
You know, I remember years before that when you were singing a lot and, you know, used to crack me up with the things
that
you used to do on TV, and you made a great transition from radio to television.
But yes, I did. I started out on Midwestern Hayride, and because of my yodeling, and my grandmother, she came from Switzerland, and that's how I Swiss yodel. It came natural, and I lived on a farm.
You were known as Mary Jo the Yodeling Sweetheart, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Mary Jo the Yodeling Sweetheart. That's my real name, is Mary Joanne. I'm named after my grandmother Mary and my grandfather Joe. And my mother added the Ann onto it. But that's where I started.
Buckle, be a buckle, H a buckle, I. H a buckle, be a buckle, huckleberry pie. H a buckle, be a buckle, H a buckle, I. H a buckle, be a buckle, huckleberry pie. The teacher asked Johnny what he'd like to be, a doctor, a lawyer, a sailor on the sea. He said, a baker, you know the reason why, so I can make a million huckleberry pie. H a buckle, be a buckle, H a buckle, I. H a buckle, be a buckle, huckleberry pie. H a buckle, be a buckle, H a buckle, I. H a buckle, be a buckle, huckleberry pie. Thank you. girls in our town don't know the score. They can't get a feller to knock on the door. The boys come to my house and the girls wonder why. They ought to see them eating my huckleberry pie. H a buckle, be a buckle, H a buckle, I. H a buckle, be a buckle, huckleberry pie. H a buckle, be a buckle, H a buckle, I. H a buckle, be a buckle, huckleberry pie. Swing court my bow. He said, there's something that I got to know. I want to pop the question before I say goodnight. But honey, can you bake those huckleberry pie? H a buckle, be a buckle, H a buckle, I. H a buckle, be a buckle, huckleberry pie. H a buckle, be a buckle, H a buckle, I. H a buckle, be a buckle, huckleberry pie.
My dad bought me a $2.50 guitar, pawn shop guitar.
How old were you when you started playing?
I was about... Let's see, I took violin lessons for about 5 years, and I started out very small, a little tiny violin, so I must have been about five. And so I was about 11 years old when my dad got me the guitar.
When did you start singing professionally?
Well, I sang at WJBC in Bloomington at a radio station until I graduated from high school. And then I went to KMBC in Kansas City. I sent an audition record. A gentleman named Al Stoss had left WJBC and gone to Kansas City, and so I had some connection there. So I went there, and I was there almost 2 years. I was 17 years old when I signed that contract. See, I wasn't 18, so I was known as Sally Carson. It gets a little involved, Randy. But anyway, when I came to WLW, because I wasn't 18, when I signed that 5-year contract with KMBC, they said, you can get out of that because you weren't 18, but we're going to change your name. And so Mr. Bill McCluskey, who is Scotch-Irish, he wanted a Bonnie. So that's how we got the name Bonnie Lou.
Okay.
And then I came for an audition record. That's where I really resolved the getting the job, was the audition of singing with the Midwestern Hayride. I got a weekend off.
Oh, okay.
KMBC didn't know that, but anyway, so I went and turned in my 2 weeks' notice, and I came to WLW, and I was there for 25 years.
Well, you're working there at the station, and somebody at King Records apparently saw you, and then how did that come about with your association with King?
Well, they called me up and asked me if I would come out and do an audition cover record of a song called Seven Lonely Days. Georgia Gibbs had it out in the pop field. So I did my rendition of Seven Lonely Days, and then I did the harmony with the voices. The men did. I had some men sing, Zeke Turner and some, but I did the harmony on that record. I did the harmony on nearly all my records.
No.
I would go back in and redub them and do the harmony.
Seven lonely days.
your favorite
ever since the time you told me we were through.
Last week was the
seven lonely days.
I
cried and cried for you. Seven achy blue I filled with my tears. Seven letters too I filled with my tears.
It was your favorite.
Guess it never pays
make
to
you
make
blue.
Your lover blue.
Last week was the
seven.
And so they liked my rendition of it, so they hired me to do the record. We were going home, my husband and my little daughter, and we were going back to Illinois, I think, like for Christmas. And I go into this truck stop, and there they're playing Seven Lonely Days. What a thrill,
oh,
Randy.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You know, I thought, wow, I've made it. I'm on a jukebox in a truck stop. It went to number 5 here in the nation, and it was a big record in England and the Netherlands. My next song that I recorded, it was an original, Tennessee Wickwalk, and it was not a cover tune.
Bow-legged chicken, I'm a knock-kneed hen. Never been so happy since I don't know when. I walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a squawk, doing the Tennessee wick-walk. Hear a tune on a fiddle on a hardwood floor. Though I'm broke and I'm weary and my back is sore, I walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a squawk, doing the Tennessee wick-walk. Put your toes together, your knees apart, babe. Back, get ready to start. Flap your elbows just for luck. Then you wiggle and you waddle like a baby duck. Dance with me, honey, tap your toes and glide. And we'll always be together side by side. We'll walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a swap. Doing the Tennessee wig walk. So happy since I don't know when. I walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a squawk, doing the Tennessee wiggle walk. Hear a tune on a fiddle on a hardwood floor. Though I'm broke and I'm weary and my back is sore, I walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a squawk, doing the Tennessee wiggle walk. Put your toes together, your knees apart, bend your back, get ready and start. Flap your elbows just luck. Then you wiggle and you waddle like a baby duck. So dance with me, honey, tap your toes and glide. And we'll always be together side by side. We'll walk with a wiggle and a giggle and a squawk, doing the Tennessee wick walk. Walk with a wiggle, wiggle with a walk. And you're doing the Tennessee wick walk. Doing the Tennessee wick walk. Doing the Tennessee wick walk.
It was accepted very big in England also, and the Netherlands, and also on the Gold Coast in Africa.
Really?
I would send autograph pictures
really?
To Algeria.
Gee.
Oh, yeah, it was wild. But I never did go. There was a booker, agent, I should say, that wanted me to go to England. But trying to get off at WLW, and I liked my job there. You know, I wanted to make sure I kept my job. And they were kind of funny. They were pretty strict. But I did a lot of shows with people out of Nashville, Tennessee, on weekends mm-hmm. with Minnie Pearl and Ernest Tubb and Barbara Mandrell, a lot of those people.
It's so interesting to think that you're on local TV here, but you've got a top 5 record in the country. I mean, it's...
I know it.
Did people realize that around here in those days?
I don't think so. And I don't think King Records really wanted me to know it was how popular it was, but I found out.
Well... You're singing country and everything's going great, and suddenly the mid-50s hit and Elvis comes around and the rock sounds coming in. And tell me a bit about how King attempted to recast you as a rockabilly.
I not. You know, I really don't know. I don't think I ever was rockabilly, but that's what they called me. Right, Randy?
Well, that's true. You know, I mean, yeah, a lot of the rockabillies were just country performers.
Yeah, because I'm in the Rockabilly Hall of Fame. And also with the Grand Ole Opry, yes, mm-hmm. I have appeared down there several times.
Well, did when you were at King, did they come to you and say, Bonnie, we'd like to take you in a new direction or something? Or was it just come in and record this song? Or?
No. Sid Nathan would just hear the song, the tapes, you know, the originals, and say, here's what we want you to record. I really didn't have much choice.
So he just had a demo that's right.
I had a demo record to listen to. And some lyrics. And thank goodness I could read music because of taking those years of violin.
You recorded Daddy-O, your big rockabilly hit.
Yes,
pop hit. So tell me a little bit about how that came about.
Did Daddy-O?
Yeah, you recorded that here on Brewster Avenue, right?
Yeah, well, Charlie Gore, who was on Midwestern Hayride, wrote that song, Daddy-O. And Daddy-O, you know, did that yodel thing. Sure good looking. Daddy-O.
Now, I'm
not so hot this morning.
Did they write that specifically for you and mine?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. It didn't make much waves, but it was a good record.
Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Sure good looking, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Always cooking, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Ready to go. All the girls are batty over Daddy-O. You couldn't call him handsome, but he's loaded with style. Always wears a t-shirt and a great big smile. Something about this crazy kid we all love so. But he's around, the girls will holler, Daddy-O, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Sure good looking, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Always cooking, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Ready to go. All the girls are batty over Daddy-O. All the kids in school, everybody knows that Daddy-O's real cool. Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Sure good looking, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Always cooking, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Ready to go. All the girls are batty over Daddy-O. You never know that he's around. He's got a set of horns with the craziest sound. The girls will start to jive, and when they hear him blow, they all jump and holler, here comes Daddy-O, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Sure good looking, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Always cooking, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
And then I recorded for Mr. Lou Chitty. He was the gentleman that Bob Braun recorded for. And he asked me to record me. And so he recorded a song called There's Been More Sun Than Rain. And I love that song. But it didn't get off of the ground, really.
Okay.
But it's a pretty song.
Yeah.
And The Tender Side of Me was another one. But that was with King Records that I was very proud of. A lot of those songs I wasn't too proud of, but I'm sure that all recording artists will have certain songs that they have to record that wasn't their choice. I enjoyed all those years. I really did enjoy my years at WLW because I worked with some of the greatest artists in the world, Paul Dixon, Ruth Lyons, Willie Thaw, Bob Braun. I did a lot of bookings with Bob Braun in high schools and festivals and things like that.
Yeah, that's what I think is so interesting about those days, that the local TV stars could be, the public had more access to them. I mean, you could go to the local gym where they're appearing, or one day I saw an old handbill that you were appearing at a hardware store in Oxford.
That's right.
This is a promotion. I mean, people can come by and meet you. And I mean, today you couldn't get within 50 feet of someone that had a hit record, probably. Yeah. But
there was a furniture store, too, there in Hamilton, Ohio. They were scared to death because the people were climbing all over the furniture and everything. So they put us up on the second floor.
There's no comparison today to what, I mean, what it was then. I mean, you were very much loved and people really wanted to talk
to you.
Well, as your popularity grew then nationally with this pop hit, what was the reaction of King? They, of course, wanted you to come back with another so-called rockabilly thing. And how did that work out?
I was with them by 5-year contract I signed. I went to New York and recorded, but that didn't prove out very good. I don't know. The material wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. Randy, you got to have some good songs, you know?
Did you work with Henry Glover?
I sure did. Mm-hmm. Fine gentleman. Uh-huh.
Well, what was Sid Nathan like to work with?
Oh, he was something else. He'd sit in there. He's quite a healthy man, and he'd sit there with his cigars and...
Right behind the board in the
control room. Oh, yeah, behind the board. Oh, yeah. He'd be sitting in there accepting it, or let's do that over again, or that instrument is too loud or something, not loud enough, the drums, and so on. He was the producer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, sometimes people say, well, he didn't have much control over the records. He let someone else do them. But, I've heard a lot that he was right there.
Oh, no, he was right there, Randy, all the time.
Oh, weevil, weevil, do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, weevil, weevil, do-do-do-do-do-do. On Saturday night where I was born, down on the farm, guitars are blinking and we started singing till the break of dawn. About 12 o'clock, everything gets hot, up steps old Jones. We started clapping and we started singing a sweet little country song. Oh, weevil, oh, weevil, where you been all day? Your mommy's been looking, hasn't stopped looking, sent you well away. Oh, weevil, oh, weevil, why'd you go and stay? You get a licking as sure as I'm sitting on this bale of hay. Oh, weevil, weevil, do 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 do. On Saturday night where I was born, down on the farm, guitars blinking and we started singing till the break of dawn. About 12 o'clock everything gets hot, up steps old Jones. We started clapping and he started singing a sweet little country song. Oh, weevil, oh, weevil, where you been all day? Your mommy's been looking, hasn't stopped looking since you went away. Oh, weevil, oh, weevil, why'd you go and stay? You get a licking as sure as I'm sitting on this bale of hay. Oh, weevil, weevil, do 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 do. Sent you went away. Oh, weevil, oh, weevil, why don't you go and stay? You get a licking as sure as I'm sitting on this bale of hay.
As you were coming out of the rockabilly phase, did you get back into country then after that brief...
Not really, no, because, see, I did... pop with Paul Dixon and with Miss Lyons, I did, you know, with the orchestras. And after, you know, WLW quit, you know, they took the Midwestern Hayride off of the air. Can you believe that?
That was
in 1974.
It was still having good ratings.
I think it did.
Mm-hmm.
We never really knew when the Hayride was coming on because of the Cincinnati Reds baseball games. See, and that's why maybe our ratings did go down because of that, because the people didn't know when we were going to be on.
I'm as happy as can be. dum.
Tweedledum, tweedledum. Give that kiss to me before you go. Tweedledum, tweedledum. Looky, 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 look at that sugar plum. Rumpadump, dump, dump. Tweedle, tweedle, tweedledum.
Tweedledum.
You're as sweet as bubble gum. Oh, mercy, mercy, pudding pie. You got something that money won't buy. Tweedle, 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 dum.
I was just wanted to ask you about a few people that you worked with over on the hayride and at camp.
Uh-huh.
Louis Innes. Was he on the hayride also? Or
yes, he was.
I thought so,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was on all my recordings out there at King. And then when WLW let a lot of people go, Louis went to Nashville to the Grand Ole Opry. And that's where he stayed. And I think he probably did a lot of recordings down there. Tremendous guitar player.
And
rhythm guitar.
And Zeke Turner, another guy he had a lot of recordings that he played on.
Yes, he was on my sessions, too, and he was on Midwestern Hayride. Then he and his wife, they moved to Daytona Beach. And Zeke just passed away about a year and a half ago.
Well, it was an era that was incredible for the recording and the music and... it's so nice to talk to you today, and I really appreciate you coming in.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk with you, too, Randy, and all our wonderful listeners.
That was a conversation between Randy McNutt and Bonnie Lou in the WVXU studio in November 2007. I'd also like to thank John Keyswater for sharing some of his memories of this wonderful singer. When she came into the studio, her joy was infectious. She'll be missed. I'm Lee Hay, and I'd like to thank Kevin Rowinski and Brian Powers for technical assistance. You've been listening to a special in honor of Bonnie Lou, who passed away on December 8, 2015. This is 91.7 WDXU Cincinnati and 88.5 WMUB Oxford.